Today I'm asking, why is it that President wants to talk, as he evidently does? They've been very open about that. And so President Joe Biden, he said, well, he is willing to parley with President Putin, indeed have a face-to-face meeting. And US presidents and Russian presidents have always had meetings, and going back to the Soviet era, US presidents and indeed Soviet leaders, they had face-to-face meetings, certainly from Brezhnev onwards. We see Vice President Nixon, as he then was, went to Moscow to meet Khrushchev face-to-face. I don't think Eisenhower met him, but, you know, Stalin, he met Truman, he met Roosevelt. Admittedly, that was before the Cold War. So we nothing new about that. But this is whilst Russia is engaged in an illegal war. So the precondition that President Biden has set is saying, well, that you must withdraw from the Ukraine completely. Okay, withdraw from Zaporizhia, Kherson, Donetsk, Luhansk, and indeed Crimea, and then we can talk. So Putin has rejected that precondition. Now, it was sort of inevitable that he was going to do so. And actually, President Biden, he said that he thought it was highly improbable that he would find acceptance amongst Putin of this precondition. And perhaps it's unreasonable. There are some people say, you know, we have to go the extra mile for peace, take risks for peace, as John Hume would say. I mean, how can that be riskier than an ongoing conflict? You'd be willing to speak to anyone, anywhere, anytime, if there's even the slightest chance of peace. I would suggest that Putin wants to talk because it's going badly. If he thought he was going to get everything he wanted without negotiation, well, then there would be no need to talk. In the beginning of the war, obviously, sort of more or less straight away, there were talks facilitated by Belarus between Ukraine and Russia, didn't go anywhere, facilitated by the Turks, took place in Istanbul, they broke down, and there'll be no direct talks between the Ukrainians and Russia about the broader issue of the war. They have negotiated prisoner exchanges, though. At least several hundred prisoners have been exchanged, and one of them was in charge in return for that Ukrainian business mogul who's got to Putin as the godfather to his daughter, something like that. Anyway, so Biden quite correctly said that Putin could end the war today by withdrawing from the illegally occupied territory. That's it. He started it. He could end it. No problem. Russia wouldn't have lost anything. They wouldn't be giving up something that is theirs. They'd be giving something up that is not theirs. So because the Russian military is making minimal progress in Bakhmut, being pushed back in other sectors, slowly admittedly, casualties have mounted. There are at least 9,300 of their soldiers have been killed, can actually be named by the BBC and so on, by open sources. It's estimated that probably double that have been killed. So getting on for 20,000, maybe triple that number wounded, and several thousand surrendered, perhaps a few thousand missing. And, you know, there's been a high, heavy economic toll. Now, on Ukraine, you know, the death toll probably similar to the Russian toll, maybe not quite as high. But bear in mind that Ukraine's population is less than 30% of that of Russia. Ukraine's had to have several million people flee the country. A few more people, a million, who are internally displaced. They've had, you know, many of their cities trashed, so much of their infrastructure has been destroyed, and yet they're not giving up. Putin's continuing to pursue the strategy to destruct Ukrainian civilian infrastructure. I mean, if you've got one missile and you're a military commander, and you could destroy a substation, electricity substation, providing a civilian housing with electricity, or you could destroy a tank, which would you go for? I mean, to me, it's a no-brainer. Now, I don't know if they use the same sort of missiles for the two, but doesn't it show that Putin's imbecilic cruelty? When had he used all those missiles against the Ukrainian military, he'd probably do rather better in this war. But he's just that savage. He'd rather deliberately freeze civilians to death. Anyway, so Dmitry Peskov, that is Putin's press spokesman, he said just yesterday, Friday, that Moscow is unwilling to cede the territories it's illegally holding, because, of course, it claims that they're Russian sovereign territory. But the very fact on Thursday, Biden, when he was holding a joint press conference with President Macron of France, said that he is open to meeting President Putin face-to-face, was with progress, I suppose, in the Russian point of view. But only, Biden said, it was the rider only if it really is to bring this conflict to a close. He went on to say that Russia's never going to defeat Ukraine. Now, I know that's the party line. I don't quite agree with that. I would love to believe it's true, but I think Russia still have some chance. In a sense, it doesn't really depend on Ukraine. to some extent, it depends on how much Russia can ramp up military production, mobilize more people, train people effectively, and how much they're willing to suffer. Because remember, they've got far more people. And more importantly, how much Western governments are willing to pay. Because, you know, their own armed forces, they've depleted their ammunition stocks. They've been running down their armed forces for decades. They need to beef them up. They need to arm the Ukrainians to actually pay at least 6 billion euros a month so that the Ukrainian government can sustain its operations. I mean, civilian operations, never mind military operations, and play host to several million Ukrainian refugees. So it shows that that Putin, and obviously you wouldn't trust a word he says, what he would like, I think, is a pause. So to consolidate what he's got, build more defences, you know, properly train some of the draftees, manufacture more weapons, purchase more from North Korea, Iran, and then at the propitious moment, in a few months, maybe a few years, if the Western unity is fractured, whatever, to renew the war to try and take Ukraine. He's already had one bite in 2014 when he took Crimea, bit of Luhansk and Donetsk regions, and then there was a second attempt in 2022, trying to take the whole of Ukraine, really overreached himself, but nevertheless has managed to take a bit more and are going to have to carry on maybe several more bites and he might actually get there. So this is an existential mission for Putin. He regards that Ukraine is not a legitimate country at all, has absolutely no right to exist as a nation and all the rest of it. But it's because it's going badly that he would like a breather. He sees this as a half-time at best. And of course, he's going to break every single treaty he signs. He always, always does. You would have to be staggeringly stupid to believe him. Just look at his record. There is no lie he won't tell, no matter how blatant, no matter how barefaced. He's completely shameless when it comes to lying. He's at a Trumpian level of dishonesty. It's just nauseating. So that's why, because the casualties are mounting, they're being slowly driven back, and it is hurting his economy, and the oil cap, Russian oil cap, has gone into effect. Nothing over $60 a barrel, Russian oil, can be shipped, can be insured and things like that. Now, is that going to work? I'm not quite sure. But if it does, it's going to hurt the Russian economy significantly, because they're only going to make a small profit on their oil from that. And so we can sell to India and China, who buy at a big discount anyway, usually below $60. So they're going to have far less money with which to finance the war, considering their economy will contract about 10% this year, would have been maybe 5% next year. But this oil cap could be 10% next year, could be 10% the year after. Now, the Russian economy is never going to get down to zero. There's a limit to how much it will be compressed by this. That's why he's worried. He would like the sanctions to be eased, at least. Like a frozen conflict, could they recognize Crimea as Russian sovereign territory, or give it some status of liminality, make it some sort of neutral state, neutral zone, independent state, anything that, you know, a guise so that Russian illegal occupation can really continue. That's why he's doing it, because he's on the back foot at the moment. He's buying time, waiting for when the time is right for him to strike again. All right. Thank you so much for watching. Goodbye.